I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today's interview is with Stephen Gurowitz, usually known as Stephen G. Stephen is the founder of Interiors by Stephen G., the largest interior design firm in Florida and one of the biggest in America. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you.
So tell me, how did you do it?
Oh, God. it's an interesting story. Well, about 40 years ago, give or take, I had started working for a very small boutique interior design firm located on Miami Beach. And while working for them, I was basically self-supportive, and I was attempting to go to school in the evenings. And that, of course, didn't work because it was burning the candle at both ends and it was definitively a loser. And I opted to leave school and continue work because I had to support myself. A year into the firm, or the boutique firm, they started to expand. And I started to basically learn and be taught by some great professionals the industry. As the years went on, we had built a really successful company. And as any entrepreneur at heart, I decided that I thought and felt there was a better mousetrap. And I opted to leave the firm after almost 10 years and start my own design firm. So I did that, and I moved into the den of my home and went out and bought a very inexpensive desk and a desk chair and put in a phone. And I had a great local following at that time after designing for almost 10 years. And my phone started to ring, and the word got out, and within 6 months, I rented a 5,000-square-foot space of my own and started a small boutique firm with a staff of two other than myself. And as the years went on, like any great service business, when people are happy and the end result is great, referrals just started to build. So after, I think, almost 3.5-4 years, I then expanded and took a place that was approximately 25,000 square feet that we occupied for almost, I'm going to say, almost 20 years. And I built a staff of close to 28. And the business for us just kept being word of mouth and happy people. And a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of, as I would say, ass-kissing, and I hope I can say that. Everybody loves to be pampered, and everybody loves to be made to feel important. And we continued in in mid-07, we were busting from the seams, and we decided to expand again, and we went from roughly 25,000 to 55,000 square feet. The staff grew to about 45 people, and I thought that the 55,000 square feet would really take us to what I'm going to call the end of the rainbow. And in the last 5 years, we moved from 55,000 to a little over 100,000 square feet. the referrals continue, our work continues to escalate as to the quality and the dimension of same. And it was, as I say to my friends and close staff, be careful what you wish for. I work as hard, if not harder, 30 years later as I did the day I started the company, because we believe that energy, hard work, and dedication helps get you to the place of success. I have also never really forgotten where I came from. I came from humble beginnings when I grew up in New York. My dad was a air conditioning refrigeration mechanic. I shared a room with my sister and brother till I left home on my own. And my parents couldn't help me. So it was all up to me to find my way, see the light at the end of the tunnel, and strive to continue to get there.
How has your own business growth been impacted by market forces external to the company, such as the real estate crisis of 5, 6, 7 years ago?
That's a great question, because it really is an interesting story in itself. When we started to consider our move from our old location to our new, I basically purchased a shell of a building. And when the market collapsed in 2008, it was January, we were midway through a multi-million dollar build out of our corporate headquarters and our showroom. And I had, as I think many people did, just endless sleepless nights, you know, saying to myself, am I making the right decision? You know, nobody, unless they were still alive through the Great Depression or since the Great Depression, lived through the crash of 08 as a business. Certainly we did not. I did not. And I opted to continue with the build out, and I could have stopped it, and we could have actually stayed where we were. And it wound up being probably the greatest decision of my business career, because although everybody looked at me and said, you know, are you crazy? And I said, I'm so deep into it, I don't see why I could stop or would I stop. And the reaction to the new showroom and the new corporate headquarters that we basically built from scratch was overwhelming, and it sent a message to the community, our clients. It sent a message that we were stable and strong. A matter of fact, we added in 2008, in the midst of the real estate debacle, a slogan to our website that basically said, we are a debt-free firm. I have always kept my firm financially healthy, because it is the backbone of our business. And that message really, you know, people looked at me at first and said, you know, why would you do that? And I said, because there are still people that are spending money, people that are still buying real estate, although at a bargain, I said, and they're going to need designers. And with everything that happened with Madow and everything that happened with the real estate debacle, any man of the house is got to be concerned as a business person, how do I give a deposit without knowing the strength of the firm? So 08 for us, you know, 07 was our biggest year in the history of the company. And when we finished 08, although the definite mood of environment had changed, our business didn't falter a nickel. So in getting through 08 as strong as we did, it even made us stronger. And needless to say, our clientele did not falter. Maybe they were spending less, but they weren't, and they didn't stop their lifestyle. So for us, it was amazing.
Talk to me a little bit more about this debt-free scenario. I think this is something that a lot of business owners don't necessarily focus on.
Well, you know, when you had everything that transpired with the Madoff debacle, you know, that sent shockwaves through the, you know, through the country and maybe the world. So now, you know, you added the real estate debacle. You know, here in South Florida, there were 20,000 empty luxury condominiums that people walked away from deposits. So in came smarter people with big money, started buying bargains. They still had to fix them up. And we promoted, you know, today you could have a husband and wife, and the wife says to the husband, honey, let's go. I've got three names of referrals of designers and design firms. We have to interview to make a choice. So, you know, an interview is a question and answer period, and it's a little sort of a show and tell of the work that you do. And the husband sort of sits there, and he really doesn't even want to be there. And the wife is doing 90% of the talking. And, you know, what happened for me is that after the interview, the wife would sort of get up, and the husband would get up, and they would thank me. And I would say to the husband, you know, Bob, for whatever it's worth, you're about to spend, you know, serious dollars. We're a debt-free company, and I just want you to know that your deposit money is safe and that we will be here to complete your job. Well, all of a sudden, you would get the attention of the husband, who really sat through the interview most of the time reading a newspaper or just nodding their heads. And you would watch the husband sit down and grab the wife by the arm and say, honey, sit down. Did you hear what Stephen just said? And the wife wouldn't register as the husband registered. And the husband said, honey, I like him. And I like the fact that I don't have to worry being 1,000 or 2,000 miles away that I'm going to give the man a deposit and he's going to be here to finish our job. So it was really amazing for us how many actual jobs that I think we received because there was a comfort level financially. And to this day, we hear, you know, tease about it because a lot of my staff who I'm very close to, especially my executive team, said from day one, do you think that's not, you know, trying to be braggadocious? And I said, no. I said, I think this is going to hit home. And not only did it hit home for the residential clients, it hit home for our developers who were getting back on their feet. And, you know, so it really was amazing for us, amazing.
You know, there are companies that pride themselves in always having been debt-free, mm-hmm. that they've grown organically with their own resources. And one might argue that a company would grow more quickly with an infusion of outside capital, but there mm-hmm. is an associated risk, and I think you're pointing to that quite clearly.
You know, at the end of the day, what financial institution is going to, you know, lend an interior design firm any substantial capital? You know, so we did exactly as you're saying. We actually built internally and continue to, by the way. We, after, as I mentioned earlier, today is our 30th anniversary in business as a debt-free firm for 30 years. We are 30 days away, as strange as that sounds, of opening our second Interiors by Stephen G showroom in a different location.
Stephen, congratulations. This is awesome.
Thank you.
It's awesome. What advice do you have for other businesses that might be in different industries when it comes to trying to grow and also trying to overcome crises, particularly those that are external?
Yeah, well, I guess part of any business success is being able to weather any crisis that hits them. And I think it all relates back to dollars. You know, we all know that it's a strange world that we live in. It's a different time. It's continually evolving, some good and some bad. You know, there are still places in the United States that are suffering financially, cities that are near bankruptcy, businesses that are hanging on by threads, not only minors, but majors. So for me, being able to weather a storm and be stable is so critical. Hurricanes, you know, things that are happening, tornadoes, things that you've never, you know, you realize they're happening. But if you look back over the last 30 or 40 years, how greatly those tragedies have affected businesses and lives all over the world. So, you know, being able, you know, I also call it being able to sleep at night. You know, when you are running a big company and you're financially secure, it allows you to make, in my opinion, better business decisions that enable you to move forward and upwards and not necessarily having to worry, do I spend that $50,000, which might bring me $1 million or $2 million, or am I worried about spending that money, or do I not buy that better piece of equipment that makes the job easier and faster and time, you know, better time management. So for me, there's no question that stability financially is a major, major role of any business success. If you're in debt and you're not getting out of debt, I don't see that as a positive at all, because all you're doing is really stunting the growth or the potential growth of your business.
Stephen, are there other qualities in addition to financial stability that you see that successful businesses have in common?
You have to deliver. You have to deliver what you promise. You have to meet the expectations of your client, your buyer, and you have to service. Service is so important. You can't say to somebody, we're going to get you on a schedule next week, we'll call you back. The answer is, we will get somebody there tomorrow morning or tonight or Saturday or Sunday. We have a I'm going to call it just a mantra of the client needs to be totally catered to 7 days and 7 nights. You know, I take calls 7 days and 7 nights on my cellular phone. My actual cellular number appears on my business card. I get text, emails, and calls 7 days and 7 nights from all over the world, and I respond immediately. Because it lays at night on my nightstand on loud, and I get up in the middle of the night to respond. I don't know another way. And if I was the client and I was on the other end of the spectrum, they realize when you're attentive and you care. And to me, it shows caring. You know, as our business has grown this year alone, we've been hired as of this week for 12 design jobs all over the United States, and we never met the client. They hired us over a telephone after, you know, some conversations. And there are 8 of them that we still have not met, and we're already designing their projects. So, you know, people, especially successful people and astute people, recognize accessibility, recognize the attentiveness, and definitely recognize when you care about what you do. And we not only care, but I'm going to say 90% of the 72 people under this roof love what they do. And there's a passion behind what we do. And we're not a staid and stale firm. We're constantly looking for that next level. We're constantly striving for a new design, something different to continuously bring to the forefront.
That's pretty awesome. And the elements that you've pointed to are really the basics of any solid business: delivering on your promise, meeting expectations of the customer, providing excellent service and accessibility. And those elements do drive passion for everybody who's involved.
I had a phone call this week from a woman in Aruba who's buying a huge piece of property with an existing home. She found us on a website and then found her way to our website and wrote us a beautiful email on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. After three exchanges of emails, I was on the phone with her an hour later for 40 minutes on a Sunday. We basically just sent a contract, and we're waiting for a bank wire up because she's so excited. She was shocked that I was on the phone with her on a Sunday. I mean, the woman was blown away. Stephen, I can't thank you enough. I know it's a Sunday. I never thought I would get a reply till Monday. So, you know, it's lessons learned, I guess you would call it.
A good lesson for all of us.
Well, you know, I always say, when I walk into any place to purchase where a service is involved, do I want to meet a picklepuss, or do I want to meet somebody that walks up to me and says, "Good afternoon, and so nice to have you here today. What can I help you with?" You know, it's people recognize warmth. They recognize professionalism. And my entire team emulates exactly how I function and my thought process. We never say no, ever.
When a company like yours goes from initially three people to maybe a dozen people to two dozen people, then to several dozen people, in each step of growth, being able to communicate what needs to be communicated to everybody who's part of the team becomes that much more complicated. And although we have more and more tools to help us communicate, it seems that effective communication gets to be more and more difficult, not easier.
I could tell you that everybody today seems to rely on what I'm going to call the computer world to communicate. I guess maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I can't stand the emails. I can't stand the text messaging. And I love to communicate with a client. But going back to your statement about internally, you have to have the right infrastructure to grow. You have to have the systems in place that allow you to grow. Without the systems and without the backbone, as I'll call it, of your team, you would only falter. Because getting the business for a group like ours is the easiest thing. Completing and following through is always the toughest. So without the infrastructure of staff, without the work working means to start and finish a job, you would be dead in the water. You would be running like a chicken without a head, pulling the hair out of your head and going in circles.
What are some of the systems you use to help make sure that everybody who's involved communicates and everyone is on the same page?
Well, for many years, when the company started, we were basically using PC typewriters. We finally decided to enter the scary world for me because I'm very, I'm not technically inclined, as you would call it. But my team said it's time that we became computerized and put in systems. So, you know, they brought me a software system designed for the interior design industry at the time. And I'm going to say it was 20 years ago, and I could be off on the date. And I'm going to tell you that the software cost $385, I'll never forget. And you basically had the support of the company that continued to help you, guide you through the system. I'm going to say 5, maybe 6 years went by, maybe even a little bit longer. We were into the system for over six figures. Because what really happened is we had to customize the system to function the way we wanted to function. And as funny as it sounds, the company that we did this with today basically sells my software that we designed to many design firms all over the world. So we did it right, and our job schedules, our tracking with factories, our meetings, our site visits, all of the things that we have today are things that we implemented into the software that allow us to push a button and get all the reports that you need, and they're as accurate as the day is long. So for us, it was a long time in the making, but it also was worth every dime.
Here's another challenge that business owners often have as their company is growing, which is how do you decide what to delegate and what to do yourself? You know, there are only 168 hours in a week. Clearly, you've described that you spend a lot of time yourself interacting with customers and providing great service. How do you decide when it's appropriate to hand something off to someone else?
Well, we do not have a huge turnover. So the people that are here and have been here many years, we have people here over 20 years, they have been trained to understand, I guess, what I would call the methodology and thought process of our business. And if I wasn't able to hand off certain or a lot of the work, we could never grow. But I'm very comfortable in doing so because each professional here has an expertise at what their job description calls for. And my involvement is more of the design aspect of what we do for the client. And I basically handle with two assistants the development end of our business because it's a very, very big part of our world. Right now, we're the design firm that has been hired for multiple properties that total about 4,800 luxury condominiums that are being built in South Florida.
Here's another question that also involves an area where business owners sometimes struggle, which is as your staff is growing, how do you decide what level of risk you're willing to allow your employees to take on behalf of the company, particularly as something new is coming out. So you mentioned that you bought your first software package roughly 20 years ago, right? When one is entertaining something like that that's new and probably new to the marketplace, you don't always know what the outcome is going to be and whether it's going to work or not work, how well it will work, whether it will be a complete bust. How do you know and how do you find the level of comfort for allowing other people to make decisions that impact the company?
I guess it would be like anything else, their track record. You know, when you have employees and an infrastructure that's with you for years, there is a great level of trust because the percentage of their decisions far outweigh mistakes. We all make mistakes. There is nobody that makes the perfect decision 365 days a year. And you'll always have the blooper or, you know, the wrong decision. You know, the key to the wrong decision is reversing it to the right decision immediately. And don't sit and let that bad decision continue to function. In any business, if you watch your business, you'll know that a bad decision was made and you'll know fast. And if you don't, shame on you. You're spending too much time on a golf course.
Good point. Stephen, thank you. Unfortunately, we're coming close to the end of our interview. You know, we believe that one of the most vital elements to smash through any plateau in business or in life is creating a community of complementary people with complementary talents. That's why we always end our interviews with this question. Who do you know, particularly outside your company, that's currently doing work you're especially excited about, and why?
Well, when you say excited about, are you saying another design firm, a developer? You know, define the definition for me of exciting in what respect?
I'm going to leave it open-ended. It could be in your industry or it could be somebody in a totally different industry. Could be somebody in public service. It could be somebody in the nonprofit world. It could be somebody in a totally different private sector industry.
Well, you know, in looking at the world of business today, if you don't look at an Apple and say to yourself, this is the most brilliant team of people or leadership that I've ever seen, you know, I think that eventually they could take over the world. You look at that company, you look at their growth, you look at their success, you look at their marketing, you look at their sales, and you say to yourself, oh my God. And their cash position, you know, it's like they should be going into the banking business, the mortgage business, the lending business. There's nothing that they couldn't do because they've built a successful scenario from A to Z.
They certainly have. It wasn't always true for their company. They had many ups and downs and some really big downs. But, yes, in the last number of years, it's quite remarkable.
Listen, here's what I think they do better than anybody else. They come out with a product, and every 6 months keep making it better. And everybody keeps buying the better. So they've captured a marketplace. People love the product. And every time they make the 5 or the 6 or the new this or new that, and you pass a store or one of their stores when the product is being released, and it looks like they're giving something away for free because the lines are 10 blocks long. So to me, they're absolutely one of the, if not the most ingenious team I've ever seen.
Stephen, thank you for joining us today on Smashing the Plateau. Today's guest,
my pleasure,
Stephen G., the founder of Interiors by Stephen G., largest interior design firm in Florida and one of the biggest in America. Thank you.
My pleasure, and thank you.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.